Is it rolling, Bob?
Okay. December 1st, 2016. Welcome to the Canadian National Day of Podcasting. This is yours truly, your host of the Dixon Chains Podcast, the Scarborough Dude, talking at you. And I'd like you to know right off the bat that I have given up an episode of Mighty Ships just to make this podcast. It's a little noisy right now. I've got the engine going in my road trek, which goes by the name of Sally, when it goes. Haven't gone for a long time. It's sitting in my driveway, plugged in. The CD player doesn't shut off unless I open the door. There we go. I have a thing that on the Canadian National Day of Podcasting, I feel that's when you record your episode. But, of course, a lot of other people record in advance, you know, which is quite natural. And I don't, you know, I'm not bad-mouthing anybody who does that and then releases them on this day, which makes a lot of sense. But for me, it's because podcasting is the thing you do. It's this process. To me, it's got to be in the now. So that's the way I do things here, and you'll pay the price for it. I have a topic I'd like to explore. God, I gotta slow down. I feel, gee, it's almost like, whoa, this CDNLP thing is, you know, a little bit of pressure. You gotta put your best out there. Well, fuck you. Oops, sorry. But, hey, take the pressure off. Put out whatever the hell you feel like it. Now, a lot of people are gonna be talking about Bob Goyetch, but I think a lot of us have already done that. So I'm not going to be speaking directly about Bob, except that the topic I want to talk about, which is community, is very much connected to Bob. And those of us who are in this very nice, tight community of amateur Canadian podcasters owe Bob a lot of thanks, because it was just his character, personality, knowledge, expertise, and just, you know, a reflection of the good guy, Bob. God, it's hard to say was. That's so hard to say. But Bob's gone. But he left behind a legacy, as you will hear today, especially if you tune into the thing that Mark put together. Martin Blevis, who was his sidekick for the longest time, when they did Podgames or PAB events. Anyway, you can find all that. And if you're listening to this, you probably already know all that. Thanks to Jason Reese, a relative newcomer to our Canadian podcasting community, which you can see right off the bat, can include Americans. Yes, indeed. The same way Canada is going to eventually, as North America breaks up into these tribal units, tribe is maybe not the right word, but new communities, if we're going to stick to that theme, we'll be taking Oregon and Washington State and, you know, Maine and Vermont and all these other places. So that just means there's a lot of Americans going to come along with us and be part of us. Jason, it does not necessarily mean we'll accept Tennessee. Jury's out on that one. Anyway, communities. I am very, very pleased and proud to be a member of the Canadian podcasting community. I have been, well, since I started back in 2005. Again, thanks. It's a story that's been told too many times. Thanks to Bob Goyetch. But it is wonderful. I was listening to Adam Greatrix today and talking about the early days of podcasting. He's another person I listened to in the very early days. You can find him under Transpondency or Suburban Transpondency. And Adam is still the artist amongst this community or in this community. and did a lot of, what was the word he used? oh, brain, don't fail me now. It's not Gaucho, Gonzo, thank you. Gonzo podcasting in the early days, back when he did it with, Dr. Lickalotopus. They've since had a falling out, so you won't be hearing them again, but, he did a lot of really interesting stuff, and that kind of got me hooked, too. I remember distinctly walking in a park and thinking, I don't know if I like this, and then, yeah, I like this. This is kind of neat. So there's, within this community, there's a wide range of personality types, a great tolerance, an acceptance of each other, and then when we actually get together in real life, it goes beyond acceptance to, dare I say, love. I think a lot of affection, caring, it all, it certainly came up over Rob's funeral service. There's just a lot of special, touchy-feely, we're all in this together kind of feeling for those who want to be. Now, again, on the topic of community, I think people like Anthony Marco, who came a little later to the game, have pointed out that in some ways it can be a bit of a restrictive community. Like, we're such a tight circle that it is a little harder for somebody new to join in. First of all, they don't even... We think we exist, and as if people would know about us. And the fact is, and it's something Mark pointed out when he sort of dropped all this podcasting today, all the stuff that goes with this day and in memory of Bob, a lot of people never would have heard of us. New podcast to do without you guys. What gives you the right to think you're special? And I get that. I seem to be... I don't have control of my voice these days. I'm sorry. Because I got the volume too loud. Hang on. There we go. Sorry. I gotta relax a little and slow down. Yeah, so for people new to the field, they might think, well, you know, whoa. So you guys are... Some of you are pioneers. Go back to the early days. Yeah, well, we're in it now. Where do we fit in? And I think the community, we recognize that the community has to be larger and wider and more accepting. And not just that, but why would anybody want to join a podcasting community? Excuse me. We celebrate it as kind of a solo thing. You just get out there and do your own thing. And bam. And try and get your circle of listeners. Well, everybody wants more listeners. And being in a community, I think one of the things I've done since the start is you talk about other podcasters. I think I've mentioned three already, since four, since starting this podcast today. That's an important part. And you get support and you get caring. So what is it? What am I saying about community? I think it's important. In the world we live in today, in this modern world of ours, in today's world, there's a lot of shit going down. There's a lot of unhappiness. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of people pissed at this and that. A lot of people, myself included sometimes, who foresee a darker future before it gets better, you know. And that's not a good thing. And one of the hopes I'm always looking for, okay, well, where's the hope? Where's the bright side? Is community. People who feel a sense of belonging. People who, in a community, you can get to know the other members. And the more you get to know somebody, the deeper you get to know them, the better you feel about them, the better maybe you feel about yourself because you're accepted as part of that community. And it's a very... it's like friendship. I always talk about friendship, but now I'm expanding that to community, which doesn't always mean friendship, but it might mean understanding. It might mean that sense of belonging and being, having maybe a common purpose. And what we're trying to do, and we have so carefully, you know, in this podcasting community, weeded out or kept at bay the monetizers, you know, the devil, the people who only see this as a way of scamming somebody else and making money, the same people who post shit on social media, that they just fucking want to sell. And I'm not interested. I'm not here to consume and to buy your shit. I want to interact with people for who they are. It's not a buying and selling market. And for some people it is. Okay, that's fine. But fuck off. Stay away from me. Don't want any of your shit. Don't want anything to do with you. So there's maybe one of the lines we've drawn here. What is this community? But let me move on, because there are other communities, and now I'm moving away from podcasting to my own personal life. This past summer, I joined lawn bowling. I joined a lawn bowling club in Agincourt. And I've never done this before. Just dropped by, saw an ad, dropped by, thought I'll check this out. Well, that looks like fun. And right away the president came up and somebody else. I'll teach you how to throw these things. Here's what you do. And I absolutely love the game. I mean, I miss it right now. I would love to be going lawn bowling, but there is indoor lawn bowling, but I am now. I didn't sign up for that. I'll wait till it starts up again this spring. But there was a community there, and there's a lot of quirky people, generally an older crowd, yes. But you go and you're an outsider. All right, I'm just here to do the lawn bowling, and then you partner up with somebody, and you joke, and you laugh, and people are friendly and fun. And gradually you get to know more people. And you get to actually like going, because you know who you're going to see, and you smile at that person, and you continue a line of conversation with another person. And some people you just stay away from. Okay, there's not much clicking here. And others, you know, it's a showcase of the wide range of humans. And this is what we need to learn to celebrate. And at a distance, you see somebody's picture, somebody else's pictures on Facebook, and you don't know the people, and you just want to say, fuck, I don't want anything to do with those people. But as you join in, as you become a member of a community, and each week, or whatever, you go back again, you just draw a little closer, especially, you know, usually it's just a few individuals. But you're happy. And when there was a picture posted of, you know, last year's, the 2016 Agincourt Lawn Bowling Club, on one of our last days, a party day, you feel really happy you're in that group, in that community, and you realize, well, there's a lack of shit, there's a lack of politics, there's a lack of religion, there's a lack of dividing factors, there is a commonality, a love for lawn bowling. Wow. Go back a little further, and I saw this ad or read about Greta Vosper and this West Hill United Church, and of course I joined. I mean, I joined. Actually, I haven't officially joined the United Church. I decided not to. But I go. I've been going pretty well every Sunday that I've been here. Since finding it over a year ago. And God, yeah, well, a year and a half maybe. And each week you go and you see a lot of the same familiar faces and you shake hands and sometimes you hug and you greet during the greeting time. And after you go have coffee and you might gravitate towards certain people who you know you're going to have a good conversation with. And you always talk to Greta and Scott. And you feel a sense of belonging again and you feel glad to see certain people. And then each week you just... somehow you're just drawn a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. And there, of course, there are people you don't make any connection with at all. And that's fine. You can only handle so many anyway, and you don't have to. It isn't that you put your guard up and say, stay away. Or nobody that I know of have I deliberately avoided. But there's only so much of yourself to go around, and you share that with the people who you're feeling good about and you want to be with. So there's another community. Thought I had a lot more. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll probably get to the point. We're going on. I want to keep this short. Okay. Podcasting, church, lawn bowling. Ah, yes. My road trek, the one I'm sitting in now. I'm on a group, a Facebook group, of road track owners, and there are over 10,000 members on this group, and I've watched it grow, and it's incredible. And if you have a problem with your road track, and road track is a thing, okay? It's not just any RV, because you got your Winnebagos and you got your other Class Cs. This is a Class B road track, now owned by the Ehrenheimer Group out of Europe, who've bought over, but they're keeping the road track brand and may improve things, or quality control, whatever. It's just a thing. It's like if you're a Leica camera owner, you'd connect with other Leica owners, right? It's not just any camera, it's Leica. But road track, so it's a thing. And you got a problem with your road track, something doesn't quite work, or you're not quite sure about this feature, or you're just new and you're planning on buying one, or you just got one and you don't know how to flush the tanks, or what's the inverter for, you post that up there. With, you know, usually people ask you, well, what year and model? Mine's a 2008 190P, popular. And, wow, you'll get a dozen answers within the hour of people who just know and care and will give you stuff. And sometimes somebody might contradict, no, you don't have to do that, you can try this or whatever. But you will get support. And it's an amazing group. Like this one guy, got a real handle on this group because he's monetizing it, believe me. He puts out a video every week, a podcast and sometimes video clips from the dealers and showrooms. But it's stuff, if you're a road track owner, you want. You're buying into this group. And, you know, you get your answers and you feel, okay, well, I've been accepted. You know, you're new. Your first post and somebody comments. Somebody puts a picture of the road track up there and you hit the like button. And gradually, there is this sense of community building. And you may disagree with the ones who think, you know, thank God for the splendors of this land. Okay, that's fine. I don't want to get into discussion on religion. But yeah, that place you just posted a picture of in Utah, I want to go there. Or that camp you mentioned in Florida, yeah. What's the deal there? So, even though I haven't met up with any of these people in real life, it does happen. They do have, you know, real life meetups. Road trek owners, when they see another road trek parked in a camp, will go up and talk and share things. And it's somebody you can just connect to. So there is another, even though this is very much right now, I'm on the fringe of it, because I'm sitting in my driveway, not out road trekking, there is a sense of belonging to this other group. And I know it's true about any hobby, obviously. Again, you know, apologies, because I haven't said anything really important here or earth-shattering or new, but I will get to the point, and the last point here, my college, community college. I'm a teacher, part-time, have been since 2009? Or is it 7 years? I don't know, maybe it's 7 years I've been teaching there. Yeah, well, that math works. And always as a part-time teacher, you get used to have different contracts. A sessional, a part-time, this and that. Well, a year ago or so, they said, we're going to fix all this because people are getting different rates of pay for the same job. Bam. They fixed it all by just lowering your wage. So you're getting less money than you used to. Which fucking sucks. But it's because we are not unionized. And only the full-time people are unionized. So you've got a lot of part-timers. And of course, the college realizes, hey, just keep hiring more younger people so that when the older ones, if they bitch or, you know, screw up or whatever, you can get rid of them easily enough. There's always somebody else in the trenches waiting. And when I first started, there was a bit of a sense of community. We used to talk in the staff room. People would sort of get together and chat, and it was a friendly atmosphere. And from the time I started to now, that has simply disappeared. It's been killed. People are too busy with their loads, working more hours to get the same pay. People are overwhelmed. you're giving a desk that you're sharing with six other people, and we got the nerve to get a note that says, please vacate 15 minutes before and 15 minutes after your class. So basically, you race in, check email, but boy, if you want to do any thinking at the job or preparing a test or something, forget it. Do that at home. You can't do it here. You don't belong here. You want a drawer to put your stuff in? Well, sorry, they're all full. Don't you dare think about sitting at a full-time desk, even if that person is off for a week, because you're not allowed to. You got books? Well, sorry, you better store those at home. You can't bring your books in here. So I lug around a suitcase full of crap from class to class, because I really don't have a permanent base at the college. All right, so I could go on bitching about it, but what's happened is they killed the community. It's gone, and it's the bean counters, it's the people at the top. We don't need part-time teachers to be happy. We just need to fill these slots. We need more students from India, more students from China. We want to maximize the money we're going to be getting from them. And so just keep filling in. Just run as many COM 141s and 161s as you possibly can. If the students fail, doesn't matter. They'll have to pay and take it again because they can't get out without it. Can't get that certificate they want without the English. And the weight falls on the part-time teachers to carry the load, to create an atmosphere to, you know, you hope the teachers genuinely care enough that they're not going to take it out on the students, and we don't. But the college, which prides itself on equality and fairness and anti-discrimination and activist and pro-this and pro-that and anti-this and that, fuck you. Fuck you, Centennial College. You've actually, it's like almost like union busting, except there wasn't even union because we haven't been able to form a union. You've actually really destroyed something that people made people happy, that allowed people to share ideas. For example, I'm leaving now. I put in my resignation. I'm leaving now after these 7 years. And I have a wealth of knowledge from experience. I've been teaching all my life. I know what the fuck I'm doing in a classroom. Although I just went on and raped my professor. And one fucker gave me a bad rating, asshole. And I know it was one of those assholes who doesn't come to class or he doesn't answer your email. Fuck you. I answer every goddamn email I get, asshole. Anyway, that was only one. sorry. Never mind. I got 20 essays to mark. I can't be talking to you. And I've gone over my 20-minute mark. I'm sorry. Okay, so the knowledge that I have, because there is no community there where we could meet regularly, would be the room for us, where they would have meetings that we would be paid to attend other than just check how effective you are, mark in the paper. We'll pass some papers around. Everybody's got to give it the same mark. If you don't, we're going to talk to you. So why is your mark different from hers? Don't you see? We got to be consistent here. There is no room to share our knowledge. And teaching is a profession, a career, where it's all about creativity. And Centennial College has basically shut down any hope for any creative outlet, any chance. Oh, yeah, there's full-time paid staff who'll do seminars on this and that. But to actually ask a part-time teacher with experience to present an opportunity for them to go to a conference? Well, no, that's full-time, of course. You're not going to pay for you to go to a conference. To create an environment where people feel welcome, where they feel they belong, where they feel they can share and get to know each other. It's missing, and it's hurting every single teacher. Everybody I'm talking to at the college is there because they need the money, but damn it, are they disenfranchised, unhappy, and bitter. And that is not the way to run an education. All right, so there you are. I don't know if this was about community or what. Maybe it was just a bitch session for me about fucking Centennial College. I'm so glad I got that job. It's been the best thing that's happened to me. I love the teaching. I was warmed when I had two students yesterday who thanked me so much for my kindness and personal attention. And these are two students I'd just given a bad mark to. But instead of teaching the class, I called them up one by one and went over their papers with them and showed them exactly where the problems were, which normally we don't have time for, and gave the others reading assignments and things to do, and spent as much time as they needed one-on-one, in a kind manner, in a warm, touching, caring manner, which is the way teaching should be. And I gave them that, and they gave back, and they just made me feel so good when I left from their genuine. And these are people from other countries. And that's been the beauty of the teaching. You're teaching. They're not necessarily new Canadians. Many of them are going home. But people from Sri Lanka and from India and from Bangladesh and from China and from all over. And that's just been an absolutely wonderful job. But God damn it. Why the fuck? Hey, all right. I'm sorry. Canadian National Day of Podcasting. This has been your host, the Scarborough Dude. Signing off now. And stay tuned. Same time next year. I'll be back.